Good morning. How's everybody today? Having a great day? How many read the sign as they came in this morning? All right, everybody get up and go out. Read the sign when you're done, come back. How many read the sign this morning? Did anybody notice the sign this morning? What did it say? Oh my goodness gracious. My message is done. I guess you just want me really to preach short today. What does the message, what did the sign this morning say? Mary wrapped the first Christmas gift. Mary wrapped the first Christmas gift. Anybody know what it was? Yeah? You know what it was. It's the gift that takes a lifetime to unwrap. Oh boy, that really played right into my hand, huh? I'll tell you what, God really works things out. No, we actually, I knew she was going to put that up there today, but I knew it fell in with my sermon, even though my wife didn't know it was falling into my sermon. We saw that. I'm not going to read all the scripture again this morning because we had it here. I don't know that we can ever get tired of reading the scripture of Luke and the story of how Christ came to earth and how the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, they all celebrated that event. You know, Christmas is a wonderful time of the year, isn't it? Bah humbug. Right? Oh, man, you know, we get so tired at Christmas time. You know, it's constantly running and constantly thinking, you know, everything's going wrong. My wife yesterday, you know, she was like, man, I got so much to do. I said, I don't. you know, she said, yes, you do. We went and picked out our tree this week. You know, we cut a live tree down and carried it in, got all sappy. But, you know, Christmas is that wonderful time. And how many of you, I know this is really tough for some of you, but how many of you remember when you were a kid? Okay, some of us? Okay, when we were kids, okay, now, Christmas morning, what did we do? We got up early. Yeah, how many got up early? Yeah, I'm glad you guys got to. My dad was kind of a strict guy, and when he was 35, he had a heart condition, and so he also had sugar, and he had a couple other issues, so he would go to bed at 10 o'clock every night, okay? Guess what? I'm a senior in high school. 10 o'clock was my bedtime, okay? When I went to college, 10 o'clock was my bedtime. The only time it was my bedtime is if I wasn't home, so I made that a point, because you know what? When you're in college, going to bed at 10 o'clock, right, Austin? Going to bed at 10 o'clock is just really nuts, you know. Austin goes to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. He says he gets done exercising about midnight, you know. But so on Christmas morning, you got up. My dad had another rule for Christmas morning, okay. Since he had to stay up past 10 to put the gifts out, guess what? He didn't get up till 8 o'clock. So we weren't allowed out to 8 o'clock. Now, that's not early. Okay, is it? But you remember you ran down and you looked under the tree and what did you see? Presents. Did you have a good time opening presents? Huh? Really? Did you ever, when you get done opening all the presents, look and say, is that all? Don't I have more to open? My one grandson, Matthew, well, you know, when we get together on Christmas morning, the whole family comes down, and we hand out all the presents, and they're all under the tree, you know, and that's why we get a small tree. We get a small tree and trim it up about this high, you know, so that the tree's here, and then the presents are all underneath, you know, because grandma, you know how grandmas are. None of you are like that, I'm sure. But anyhow, Matthew, tradition is I hand the gifts out to everybody, okay? Now, the girls will typically have one gift, and they're opening, and they're looking at it. Matthew will have all his gifts open before the second gift of any girl is opened. Okay? He just... My brother was like that. He must got that off my brother. My brother would open all the gifts. If it was a shirt, If it was closed, it got tossed, and he was looking for the good stuff. We ever do that? We get done unwrapping the gifts. We get tired. We get everything's there, and we look at it and say, "Huh, it's over. Christmas is over." Huh? Yeah. When we were kids, that's what it was, wasn't it? When we were done unwrapping gifts, Christmas was over, and then we saw how many of the toys we could break before, we went to bed that night, right? Christmas is an exciting time. But see, when we look at the Christmas story and we look at what it's all about, is Mary wrapped the first Christmas gift as she laid him in a manger. And when she wrapped that gift, it became a gift that we get to unwrap for a lifetime. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, how we unwrap that gift for a lifetime. Every day of our life, every moment, we get to unwrap that gift. First off, you understand that when that gift was given to us, it was an instant gift, wasn't it? All right? Free to all. We got it. We got to see that birth. And we get to read it. And we get to understand that birth was a gift that God had promised all through the Old Testament, wasn't it? All through the Old Testament, he said, "I give you this gift, and it's coming." And that gift, Jesus Christ, that babe that was wrapped in a manger, became the first Christmas gift. There is no reason to celebrate Christmas if you have no Christ. There is no reason to celebrate the season, the holidays, without Christ. Okay? That's why it's called Christmas. It's about Christ. And so we got that first gift, and it was an instant gift, and it was wrapped up and laid in a manger. But you know what? As we start looking at that thing, from the moment of that birth until Christ died, he was preparing the gift for us. And when he died upon a cross, the gift that God started back there now was available. And that gift was the gift of salvation. And so when we look at this babe and we look at what it was written, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." That gift, that babe, became a gift that was prepared for each one of us. And through his life, there was preparation that we could see and that we could know. And his life was a preparation for the plan of salvation. And so, we get to unwrap that plan of salvation when we accept Christ. Okay? God says, "If you ask, you shall receive." Right? God said, "Whosoever believeth shall receive." Right? The gift is free. The gift is there. And when we come to Christ and when we ask God for forgiveness of our sins and we come to Christ and we go forth, now all of a sudden we have the gift that now keeps growing. Wouldn't that be great if somebody gave you a gift? I mean, I know there are gifts today that people give you a gift that every week you get, something delivered in the mail or candy or something, it just takes a long time for that gift to be completed. Well, see, Christ is like that. It takes a lifetime for that gift to be completed. We never fall short of having something new to discover through Christ. He's got something new for us every day. Something new that he wants us to discover through him. So when we look at that, with that gift, it says there we got a lot of other gifts. What? What did we get? Well, the scripture says that we got peace, joy, faith, kindness, gentleness, of which all of us didn't get a whole lot of that. Some did, some didn't. Meekness. Okay, those ones we focus on. But we also got the gift of understanding. We can understand the mysteries of God through Christ because the Holy Spirit works in our life. And the Holy Spirit is bringing forth these things to us to help us to understand God. So we get the gift of understanding too. Gift of application. We can apply all the things in the Scripture to our lives, can't we? Yeah, sometimes you look at some things and you say, well, this doesn't apply to me. We were talking this morning in Sunday school class, and we were talking about Saul, you know. And Saul was standing there when Stephen was stoned, and he was. They said they had laid the cloaks at his feet. Saul was the officiating officer of that stoning, okay? Saul was the guy in charge. He was making sure that that was carried out, you know. They said Stephen had blasphemed God, and so the penalty was stoning. And so Saul stood there and he watched and he said, as they, you know, as they're stoning him, I approve. I approve. You know, and we talked this morning how Barnabas gave Saul a chance. You know, I don't know that I'd be as nice a guy to give this guy Saul and say, oh yeah, no, he's accepted Christ, so he's safe. You really think so? That's how we are in life, isn't it? You know, we look at people, we look at their past, we look at what they did, we look at how it had an impact on things, and we judge people based on that. We don't judge people based on what God judges people on. But every day, he says, we can apply the things of Scripture to life. So guess what? We have to be like Barnabas. If somebody accepts Christ, no matter how bad they are, we got to say, all right, they're forgiven. They got the same gift we got. Okay? Well, I wasn't that bad, though. Doesn't matter. The gift is equal. It doesn't matter how bad you were. Doesn't matter how good you are. When you accept Christ, you get the gift, and everybody gets the gift the same way. You know? My wife's funny like that. I'm picking on my wife today, but she's funny like that. Okay? If I give gifts, I'm not really worried. And I'll bet some of you guys are also like this. But you know, my wife, if she gave somebody a gift and it come out to $99.99 and somebody else was $99.98, she'd probably put a penny in there. You know, that everybody's got to be equal, right? Now I say that because that's how God is too. Okay? God says we're all equal. And it doesn't matter what we did in life. When we come to Him, we're a child of His. And we get the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift that we keep opening, keep unwrapping. And so, you know, application. There's a few other gifts He gives us when through lifetime. How about the gift of revelation? Has God ever revealed anything to you? I hope so. I hope so. God reveals things to us, doesn't He? You know, can you keep a secret? Huh? Aren't you glad God doesn't keep all things secret, that He does reveal things to us? And He reveals it in a way in which we understand, doesn't He? That's a good thing, too. You know, God can reveal things to us. Whether it's through the Word of God, through preaching, through music, He's revealing to us Himself, isn't He? See, He's revealing Himself to us. We get to see a little bit of what God's like. We get to see a little bit of how God works. Oh, there's another gift, and this is a great gift. You're all ready? Tribulation. Oh, man, I didn't see everybody jump up and shout on that one. But you know, that is a gift from God. We talked a little bit this morning about that. Doesn't it help us to grow? Doesn't it strengthen us? Doesn't it give us avenues to help others through our life experiences? When we go through tribulation, what does He say? What? Tribulation bringeth forth what? Huh? What? Patience. Anybody here need any patience? Tie my hands down, huh? At times we all need some patience, don't we? But God gives us that, and that really is a gift from God, okay? If we never face tribulation, would we really have any need to go to God every day and unwrap more of His presence? Or would we start relying on ourselves? See, God gives us Jesus Christ that works within our life, even in tribulation. Philippians 2:12 says, "Therefore, my dear friends, if you have always obeyed, not only my presence, but how much more my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Now, this sometimes brings about misunderstanding, so I want to clarify this scripture. The scripture does not say that we work to get salvation. It says we work after salvation. And what Paul is talking about here is that we continue to work to open the gift, so that we not only just get what God has on salvation and God has at the beginning, but we grow and we continue to get what God has for us. God wants us to realize that the gift that He has for us is the gift that keeps giving day in, day out. And that as we go to God and as we start to trust in Him and we start to rely on Him, we become more like Him. And as we become more like Him, guess what He does? He opens up the book and says, "All right, now you're ready for a little more." Right? You're ready for a little more. And now you learn a little bit more. And you learn. Have you ever looked at Scripture and you saw that it was different than what you thought 3 years ago? Because, see, God enlightened you and showed you, oh, wait, I got a little more here. I got a little more that you just didn't see then. You weren't ready to understand that then. But now, because you've grown some and you understand me better, I can give you a little bit more for you to understand. And that's how God works, is He keeps giving us more and more and more. So that gift just is there, and it requires work from our part to continue to get from it. You know, just like going to the cookie jar. Okay? Now, if I went, my wife baked a lot of cookies and she puts, they're all in the freezer already. And I'll be honest with you, I have not opened that freezer once and taken a cookie out of there. But I know somebody who's only been in the house for a day and a half, and he has. Okay? You know, and this coming from a guy that doesn't eat a lot of sweets. Okay, Austin hardly ever eats sweets. But yesterday, I heard him come down the steps. I heard the freezer door open. And magically, a peanut butter cup appeared on the chair. And when he went to get it again, it disappeared. Now, I don't know where it went, but it was my chair. But I haven't opened any, you know, but you know, think about this. It's a gift that we work to open, you know, that we work. And we do work. So we work out that salvation plan for us. Salvation doesn't stop just because we ask Christ into our heart. We keep going and going and going and growing. That's why some people never get past the baby stage. Okay? It's because I've got it, so it's good enough. No, it's not good enough. We have to continue to grow in Christ to become more like Him. And so we have to continue unwrapping the mysteries of God so that we know what His plan for us is. Yes, He's planned that we be saved. He planned that Saul was going to be saved on the road to Damascus. Did it end there? No. He got forgiveness. Then we look and we got the whole new, practically the whole New Testament after that. He had to work, didn't he? And he says, so in Philippians 2:12, he says, we continue to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Not fearful that we're going to lose it. Fearful that we disappoint God. This gift that God gave us was a gift of enormous value. Colossians or 1 Corinthians 9:15, sorry, says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Can you really describe what that gift has meant to you in words? You start to think about it, and you start to think, okay, what has God done for me? I don't know that you could write everything down. You know, some of you have been serving God for 40 years. Can you write down everything that God has done for you? Anybody tell me what the first Christmas present is that you got 5 years ago that you opened? Can anybody write down what God has done for them in the last 10 years? The last 10 hours, 10 days? God does so much for us, and that gift that he gives us is of such value that we can't put a price on it. You know, when we read this story in Luke and we read the shepherds came, what were they doing? They came to worship Christ, didn't they? Right? And they came to offer what? Honor and praise. The wise men came. What did they come to do? Worship Christ. Now, I want you to understand, okay, this all didn't take place the same night. Okay? And if you guys are going to look at me and say, well, wait a minute, the Bible just kind of goes right through this story. Okay, yes, it does. But it didn't all take place in the same night. Because, see, if you notice, after the wise men left, they didn't go back to the king. And so when the king went out and had all the babies killed, it was 3 years old and under. Okay? There'd be no need to kill all the babies 3 years old and under if it hadn't been some time involved in this whole thing. The wise men came from the far, okay? Not like us, man. You could jump on a plane today and be in Japan tomorrow. Didn't happen back then, okay? The wise men came from afar. It was a time period. So when Christ was taken from Bethlehem into Egypt, was several years after his birth. Okay? So over that time, people continued to come. People continued to worship, and they recognized that there was a gift of enormous value. And they brought something with them that was worthy to give to Christ, that king. At 3 years old, did Christ worry about gold, frankincense, and myrrh? I heard one kid say, "Gold Frankenstein." You know? Do you really think Mary and Joseph were concerned with gold, frankincense? No. See, what those wise men did is they brought something that they felt was of the same value as the gift that they were going to receive from the Holy Child. Think about that. Think about that. They brought that in honor of what they were going to receive from the Holy Child. So, when you look at that aspect, is these people that brought gifts and these people, they recognized that the gift that they were going to receive was even far greater than what they were giving up in their gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I told Dave I wouldn't preach an hour and a half today because he said last time I did, I didn't though. He was just kidding me. But I'm on my last point already. Isn't that great? Huh? The last point is that it's not like Christmas in house, okay? It's not like Christmas at your house. I want you to understand that. Because most of us, when we get a Christmas gift, guess who it belongs to? Me, number one, yeah! You know? Somebody gets me a box, or I love cashews, okay? And so normally somewhere along the line I get a can of cashews for Christmas, okay? I don't like to share my cashews, okay? It's not, I mean, yeah, I could get cashews all year long, all right? But hey, that's my cashews. Those are mine, okay? They were bought for me. Keep your hands out of my can of cashews, right? But see, the gift that God gave us is designed to be given away. When he gives us that gift, his command to us is what? Pick it up, take the gift, and start. Take my gift. Here you go. All right. Take my gift. That's how God works, doesn't it? He gives us that gift, but then he wants us to go around and start giving it away. Because, see, he gave us one gift for all. God's gift was truly the first one size fits all. Okay? He gave us one gift for all, the gift of Jesus Christ, his son. As we celebrate Christmas, as we think, and I'm not telling you, don't get excited about gifts under the trees, kids. That's a great time. But keep that excitement about the one gift that God gave us for all. The gift of Jesus. We didn't have to buy it. We didn't have to do anything for it. I remember my dad passed away when I was 30 years old. And to be honest with you, Christmas kind of took a different meaning because my dad always had a way of surprising me. Okay? You never knew what he was going to come up with. I'd get a new gun or, you know, a bow or something. My dad was an avid hunter. And so, you know, my special gifts were he'd surprise me. And the last gun he gave me, he made himself. It was a flintlock muzzle loader, and he built it. You know, I have all those guns. I'm one of these guys that really has a hard time getting rid of guns. You know? And I was talking to my nephew. And my nephew said, you know, there were a lot of guns Pap had that I wish I had. And I said, well, I gave them all to you or your dad. And he said, yeah, and all the ones my dad had, he sold. And we were talking, he said, and I was kind of disappointed in that. But I want you to know is we can't sell the gift God gives us to anybody else. Okay? Because they pay the same price for it that we do, which was nothing. You know, we can get Christmas gifts and we can sell them. Oh, I don't like the, you know. Anybody ever get a tie that they never ever wore for Christmas? Because they didn't like it? Huh? None of you guys ever got ties you didn't like. Or a shirt that you didn't like the color of, and you just kind of put it in the back of the cupboard, and then someday maybe you sell it at a yard sale. You know what? Every day, God wants to surprise us with his gift. As my dad would always surprise me with something special, every day God wants to surprise you with something special. We don't know what it is for today. Definitely don't know what it is for tomorrow. So we have to be in tune with God every day to get that surprise of what is in the package today. It's a gift. It's just like UPS delivering you a new package every day and saying, open it up. Oh, look what I got today. That's what God's saying to us. Every day I'm going to give you a new package. Oh, it's the same old thing inside. It's Jesus. But when you open it up, guess what? It's going to take on a new meaning for you today. A new meaning. It's the same thing, but it's going to take on a new meaning. And everyone that gets it, verse 20 of Luke chapter 2 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They realized that when they received that gift, life would never be the same after that. That's what God's looking for us. When we get that gift, when we accept Christ, life will never be the same after that. There'll be ups, there'll be downs. There'll be trials and tribulations and persecutions, and there'll be good times and there'll be bad times. But the thing is, the one thing that we can never forget is God is always right there with us through every one of those good, bad times, those ups, those downs, the rough times, the smooth times. My nephew, I've been spending a lot of time trying to mentor him and teach him about what it means to really serve and love God. And he's reading his Bible, and I told you this morning, Satan is just attacking in every way. Satan's attacking physically, emotionally, financially. I mean, Satan has just unleashed his angels on him. And he said, Uncle Denny, he said, you told me this was going to happen, but man, he said, you didn't tell me it was going to keep happening and happening this bad. And I said, but just keep trusting God. I said, there's a reason. And I told him, I said, the one thing that we can't ever do, it takes a lot of time to really serve God. And we can't ever forget that our life, our past, does come with some baggage. And sometimes we still have to pay to haul that. Just like the airline, when you have extra baggage, you got to pay now. Sometimes we pay through our life for the baggage that we had before we accepted Christ. Okay, sometimes it still comes back to haunt us. Sometimes people aren't like Barnabas. Barnabas was willing. Barnabas took Saul to the other disciples and said, hey, this is a man of God. And they all stood back and said, what? Are you crazy? But Barnabas was willing to look beyond what Paul was and say, this is what he is. So I told him, I said, sometimes the baggage comes back and it haunts us, and there's going to be things that you constantly go back. I said, and that is the tool that Satan will use the most. Okay? That is the tool that Satan uses the most. He gets us looking at things in the past that we can't forget or forgive ourselves or get by. But see, that's the one thing about the gift of Christ. If you treat it as a new gift every day. Dave said typically this morning in Sunday school, he says, when I get up early, and he said, typically I know it's going to be a bad day because when Satan starts attacking me before I even, been up 10 minutes. Yeah, okay. When's Satan going to start the attack? When you get up and you say, good morning, God. He laughed this morning because I said I had to change what I used to say. Because, see, I used to get up and say, good morning, Lord. And if he didn't answer me in a direct verbal communication, then I went to work. Dave says, you can't say that anymore. I said, no. I said, I don't have to. But I still get up and I say, good morning, Lord. And I start my day with him. And see, when you do that, guess what? You're starting your day with Satan too. Sorry. He's already planning the attack. But see, when we open up the gift that God has provided and we say, hey, God, what do you have new for me today? What do you want me to do? Where can I learn? What can I see? Who can I help? What do you have new for me today? It becomes much more difficult for Satan to start because we've already asked God for something that Satan doesn't want us to have. And so God says, oh, by the way, I got this. And guess what, Satan? You can't impact this today because this is my blessing for him or her because they're serving me. As you draw close to the Christmas season, remember, Mary wrapped the first gift and we unwrap it for a lifetime. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? We get to unwrap it for a lifetime. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that as we look back and we look at how the first Christmas took place, and guess what, Lord? We sometimes get worried about the troubles we have, but I look at the troubles that Mary and Joseph had just having your child so that we could have your gift. Lord, their life wasn't easy. They was upset. They had to go to a different town while she was expecting. They had to come up with tax money. All these things that we face, God, they had to face. Yet, they were faithful and did what you asked them to do and brought forth that first gift, a gift that lasts a lifetime for each one of us. We thank you for that, God. We thank you that you care enough about each and every one of us to give your son to die that we might be set free. But God, we also thank you that you care so much for each one of us that it doesn't end at that point that we accept Christ. It's only a beginning. And that you continue to bless and give gifts of Christ's love all the way through our life. Lord, as we celebrate this week, as we spend time with family and friends, help us to put first the gift that you've given. That if we run into somebody that needs it, we hand it to them. And we say, hey, I've got something for you today. It's a gift that God wants you to have. Bless each one here today, Lord. Have your will in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, as we go forth this week, let us each morning, as we draw close to Christmas Day, remember that you have something planned for us that day that is specifically for each one of us to be drawn closer to you. Have your will this morning. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen.